Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hello, and welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. As always, I'm Craig Israel, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric Krylo. Eric, what's up?
Hey, Craig, how's it going?
Good. So today we are going to be talking about crowdsourcing. So there's a lot of crowdsourcing that goes happens in the world today, like Indiegogo, Kickstarter, but we're going to talk about crowdsourcing as it pertains to marketing in general. The first really successful crowdsourcing project that comes to mind is Doritos, right? Their crash to Super Bowl really set the standard, I think, for what crowdsourcing could be for a brand. And we all remember that they solicited people to give them ideas for a television commercial, which they actually produced and put on the Super Bowl. It's very successful, and they've done it for years, right? Many, many years. So we think that's pretty popular example of crowdsourcing. But Eric, you don't seem convinced from the look on your face.
Yeah, you know, when I think of crowdsourcing, I can certainly see the benefits of it. But the biggest question in my mind, especially from a marketing standpoint, is it lazy? Is it lazy for these brands to essentially give up major decisions, whether it be the name of a new product or it be a direction in terms of which way to take a product line? You know, are they leaving that in the hands of the consumer to decide? And if so, are they doing that because they just don't know, or do they really feel that there's a lot of benefit there? So depending on the situation, I do think it's a little bit lazy, and I would challenge the brands out there to ask themselves that question, is what are you going to get out of it, and is it going to be beneficial? And I think that one of the ways we can kind of work through that is to talk about some of these other brands that have done crowdsourcing and the results that they got from it. And I think Lay's is a really good example.
Lay's potato chips?
Yep. So I think that's a good example of a concept, and I think the concept was to come up with a new flavor. Is that correct?
Right. So their campaign was "Do us a flavor," right? It was managed mostly on social, I believe, and they asked people to give them new flavors. So I was just looking at a website that had the four flavors that won, and let me say this first: I think these all sound disgusting, which it, only in potato chip form, because I like most of these things, but in potato chip form, I don't know. First was New York Reuben. Next was Greek Town Euro or Gyro. Eric, are you a Euro or Gyro guy?
I prefer Euro. Hero, I think is how it's pronounced. Euro? Hero? I don't know.
My absolute favorite, Southern Biscuits and Gravy.
Ugh.
Which is really my go-to at Bob Evans.
AKA the heart attack.
In chip form, I'm going to say I don't know. And finally, West Coast truffle fries. Truffles taste like mushrooms. I don't like mushrooms, so.
So that's an interesting thing. I always associated truffles with chocolate. Is there any reason I would have done that, or am I just?
Well, there's a little sidebar. Two kinds of truffles in the world. Truffles, there's a chocolate confection, usually a rolled chocolate with like powdered cocoa over it or other flavorings. That's a truffle. But there's also truffles, the kind that are hunted by pigs, that are like a fungus.
Interesting.
So I'm pretty sure we're talking about the mushroomy truffles on this. But maybe I'm wrong. A chocolate chip, I would give that a go. Whereas the fungus, I'm going to take a pass.
Right, and I certainly would too. And the question again here, it comes down to: did they get value in these crowdsource options? Because obviously, you and I both have our sort of negative opinions about these names, and none of them really sound appealing. And at the same time, I've never seen any of these in the store.
So I saw Sausage Biscuit and Gravy in the store. And I was so horrified, I actually took a picture with my phone and pushed it out on Facebook. So you could argue that that is a very successful customer interaction, right? I did some free advertising for Lay's. Now, I presented it as, holy crap, this is a thing that exists, and I can't believe it. But who's to say? Maybe one of my friends on Facebook is like, oh, I got to rush over to Mark's and get me some Sausage Biscuits and Gravies chips.
Sure.
ASAP.
Sure. And I think, you know, even though you weren't, it wasn't necessarily a raving review, You posted the brand. The brand name got out there. You know, it wasn't anything like, you know, hey, this bag's guaranteed to cause you diarrhea. You know, it wasn't anything like that. It was more just like, hey, this exists. So I think part of that, like you said, is getting sort of this free publicity. And, you know, here at ThunderTech, we actually did a taste test with the new Lay's, I believe. Is it correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we can't deny that from a social interaction standpoint, this was hugely successful for Lay's. Because like you said, that we were so into it that here at the agency, we got these four flavors and put them out and had our own taste test. I don't remember what... wait, no, we didn't taste these. There were other flavors that we tasted because there was a wasabi chip. So it must have been an earlier iteration of
right,
this.
Right, but I do remember us posting them to social. And again, there's that free publicity that...
We did. Not only did we post it to social, but we tagged Lay's and they tweeted back at us. So, you know, from a customer engagement standpoint, even though I'll never buy a bag of these nasty chips, I think it's hugely successful. Now, that said, I think there's a dark side of this crowdsourcing naming that you have to take into consideration. Because if you're going to put it out there on social and say, hey, help us find our next flavor, name our product, figure out what our new tagline is, I don't know if you know this, but the internet is full of assholes.
Yes, I've been told.
So because of that... I did a little poking around, a little research on this topic before we sat down, and the internet reminded me of the Mountain Dew Dub the Dew campaign. This was quite a while ago, and I vaguely remember it, but Mountain Dew basically, this was when they're coming out with their Midnight Black and all sorts of crazy...
Code Red,
I
think it was.
Yeah, crazy flavors. So they put out this crowdsourced, you know, customer interaction campaign and said, help us... you know, name the next Mountain Dew. And of course, the internet being the internet, took it and immediately perverted it. And the top two vote getters for the new flavor of Mountain Dew was, here is Gushing Granny and Fapple.
Fapple.
I can't stand it. So I vaguely remember.
Is there a definition for Fapple?
I don't get the reference. Personally, of course, but yes, I encourage our listeners not to Google that. But so I vaguely remember Mountain Dew coming out and pulling the plug on the whole thing, right? Because they couldn't very well have, you know, Gushing Granny next to Code Red and Midnight Black. So they pulled the plug, and I don't remember if they picked their own name or they just put kaput to the entire campaign and never spoke of it again. But I think when you have things like that, and we saw similar things with Lay's, that you could really recommend any flavor you wanted. And I've seen things like Broken Promises and Shattered Dreams for new flavors of Lay's.
Stunted Growth might be one too.
So yes, delicious. Sounds as good as biscuits and gravy.
Mild Hangover, is that?
So... a flavor you're familiar with, I'm sure. So that, I think, is a cautionary tale to marketers everywhere, that if you're going to crowdsource, if you're going to put it out there, that we're going to engage you to name or whatever our new flavor, our new name, whatnot, that there's going to be these internet trolls you have to deal with.
Yeah, and I think it's important, too, for brands to know and to know what they expect to get out of it. You know, it's great that you want to engage your audience. It's great that you want to hear what they have to say and give them the opportunity to, you know, I guess, weigh in on some things. But if you're not going to get a lot out of it or you're not anticipating to then use that, I don't think that there's a reason for it. And again, it goes back to my original point is I do in some cases think that it is a little bit lazy. So I would encourage any brands, you know, that we work with here at ThunderTech to really, you know, consider that before you approach any type of crowdsourcing campaign.
So let us take a moment to have a commercial break and talk about ThunderTech. So Eric, I don't know if you know this, but the ThunderTech's new Trends 2016 guide is out now.
Ooh, tell me more.
So within Trends 2016, you can find all sorts of amazing information about a variety of marketing trends, including flat design 2.0, ad blocking, email, the centerfold topic is email is sexy again. I know, not to be missed. So these are just a handful of the really insightful, interesting, engaging, and overall educational articles you can find in the new Trends book by ThunderTech, available now. You can find it at a specific URL that I will now tell you. You can find it at trends.thundertech.com. All we ask for is your email address, and we will give you a digital version of it.
Excellent.
There's also a print version, which is gorgeous, fits in your pocket easily, which I suspect that if you were to send us an email or write us a letter or just show up to say hi, we'd be happy to hand one to you.
Yeah, I think I have a couple on my desk.
Trends 2016, available now. Check it out, trends.thundertech.com. And now back to the talk. So talk more about crowdsourcing. So we've talked about a couple brands have done it successfully. We've talked about a couple brands that seen the dark side of it. So there's some other interesting crowdsource things. One of the more interesting things that we came across as we were researching this, I thought, was the you remember the Malaysian airplane crashed, vanished into the sea. Nobody could find it.
It was like Amelia Earhart 2.0, right?
Yeah, well, right. Horrible. What I didn't know is that the Malaysian Airlines reached out and kind of crowdsourced an investigation. They asked people to utilize Google Earth and other services like that to do a search for them to help discover something. So I thought it was a fascinating application of crowdsourcing. So it's not always give us the next flavor of our chips. It can actually be used for very altruistic ways as well.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's obviously an interesting crowdsourcing topic, and it was something that I think kind of surprised me when I first heard about it and I read about it. But what really got me thinking is, what are some other things you think that they found while they were scouring Google Earth? I mean, we've all heard stories of standing outside of your home in your robe and your tube socks, and you see the Google car drive past and you give it a wave. But there had to be some other really, really interesting things that folks found. And I'd be really interested to know, because obviously we didn't find the plane.
No, they didn't find the plane. There's no happy ending to this tale. But I don't know. The final resting location of Jimmy Hoffa, perhaps? Something that could be crowdsourced?
Interesting. Jack Nicholson, didn't he play Jimmy Hoffa? Is that who played?
Yes, in that movie you're referencing.
What is that called? Hoffa? Was it Hoffa? Was it just strictly Hoffa?
The movie about Jimmy Hoffa? Yes, that was cleverly called Hoffa. You're right.
I think I remember reading the description, and it was something along the lines of like a Teamster. And once I couldn't get past the word Teamster. It didn't make any sense to me, so I never watched it. But anyways, back to crowdsourcing.
So what else? What else as marketers do you think that we could crowdsource? Maybe there's things that shouldn't be crowdsourced.
Yes. I don't think what underwear you wear should be crowdsourced.
You mean on a daily basis or
correct.
Just
correct.
Universally?
I mean, I'd never leave the house if I had to wait for folks to tell me what to put on or what to wear.
Right. Looking for a new sitter for my children, I don't think I would crowdsource that.
Yes. I can only imagine what you would open up your door to.
Mm-hmm. The next car I drive, I don't think I would crowdsource that, just because I don't trust the internet to not put me in a beat up pickup truck or a 72 Pinto.
Sure, and it's interesting you say that, because the next thing I was going to say is, you know, as a single guy, crowdsourcing a girlfriend, but knowing how dark the internet can be, and to your point from earlier about people on the internet being assholes. I'd be worried about, you know, who they would stick me with. Maybe it would be Gushing Granny. I'm not sure.
I got to say, I would watch that campaign, though, if we crowdsourced a new mate for you.
Yeah, that might be a future podcast.
Yeah, I don't see how that could go wrong.
But, you know, in all seriousness, though, Craig, let's say we had a client come to us. You know, obviously one of the things that we offer is consultation here at ThunderTech. And if a client really came to you and they said, what types of things would be worth crowdsourcing? Any off the top of your head that you would bring up in that meeting?
So I think the big issue here is that crowdsourcing is it's a technique. It's not a result, right? We have clients that sometimes say, I want to create a viral video. Well, A viral video is a result. It's not a strategy. So, and I look at crowdsourcing the same way. It's not necessarily a strategy in and of itself, right? It's something that you got to look at what do you really want to do? What's the end result that you have in mind? And I think crowdsourcing can be a really successful strategy when you're looking to increase engagement with your audience, right? Because things like Lay's and Mountain Dew, if they resulted in good flavors or good names or bad names, there's no disputing that there was a lot of audience participation and a lot of engagement, right? That you know those jerks on the internet who put out Gushing Granny were checking every day, if not every hour, to see where the rankings were. Yeah. So there was huge engagement. And as embarrassing it might have been to the brand, I don't know if it damaged the brand long term, right? Mountain Dew is a young, right, extreme sort of brand. So something really distasteful and off color like this is probably good for the brand in the long run. So I think if we had a client come to us and say, you know, we want to really engage with our audience and we're looking for ways to do it, I think crowdsourcing would definitely be on the table.
Sure. And, you know, something got me thinking. You mentioned, that really gets the crowd engaged. And I think we saw an example of that during the playoffs last year
with the Cavs.
And Uncle Dan over there with the Cavs and the whole all-in mantra, if you will, or the theme throughout the playoffs. And although it's really simple in its execution, you know, all in, everyone together, we're all doing this together, it really kind of took on a life of its own. You know, T-shirts, a lot of the hashtags, folks were taking that and using it for other things, promoting their own businesses, really kind of getting everyone together. And I think that was a really good example of where crowdsourcing was not only beneficial, but where something really great came out of it. Now, we didn't win the championship, and when I say we, I mean LeBron and I. But maybe this year, and I wonder if Uncle Dan will do that again, if he'll be looking for a new tagline for this season.
I got to agree that I'm not a sports guy, but even I got a little wrapped up in the hoopla around championship, around the all-in tagline. That I got excited about sports ball for a minute, and that's usually not who I am.
So I think where we're going to land on this is crowdsourcing is beneficial if you think about it the right way, you understand what you're going to get out of it, and then you understand how you're going to use that in terms of execution then moving forward for whatever your marketing plan is.
Well said. So that's it for Thundercast for this week. As always, if you like what you hear, please subscribe to us. We could use your help. You can find Thundercast on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you purchase your fine podcasts. And always, it's available on our website at thundertech.com/podcast. If you have questions or topics you'd like us to cover on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. You can shoot us an email at thundercast@thundertech.com, and we'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
Thank you.